Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on crime. Is a growth industry when we come back. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they have been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They have now been banned from our national consciousness. And now instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion. That's right, your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention not only practiced, but they advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. 22 principles. Now, there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments. All 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, we call it karma, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the automatic penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. It's a 4-hour commentary. It's a commentary on the law in general, but it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about crime as a growth industry. Well, where does all this crime come from? How did we, in 100 years, convert Americans into such a criminal society? And if all of this crime is being caused by or generated by the salesmanship of our politicians, then why did we buy into it? What caused the change from locking up one person out of every 1,666 to locking up one person out of every 210, an 8-fold increase in crime, an 8-fold increase in the number of people that we lock up in our jails? Well, a fellow by the name of Zach Montgomery put his finger right on the pulse of the problem back in 1886, and it's called poison drops in the federal Senate. Zach Montgomery. And he said, he asked the question, he said, why is it that we have, and this is written in 1886 now, he said, why is it that we have seen such a rise in crime, poverty, insanity, and suicide in the United States from 1850 to 1886? What has caused this? And he put his finger right on the pulse of it and he said, public school caused it. public school causes crime. Let me repeat that. That should be just about as shocking as telling a Christian preacher you want to take his wife home and sleep with her. I did that once. I told this Christian preacher, you know, he was talking to me. He said, you know, you're teaching these people to lose their salvation. And then so I said, well, let's demonstrate it for a minute. Let's think about it. I'm advocating the Ten Commandments. I'm advocating a system of law that is so foreign and alien to Americans today, it's just like saying to you, the cause of crime is public education. The guy that thought that up, now I wished I was smart enough to figure this out. I wasn't. I didn't. I can't. I probably never would. But this guy took a look at the statistics and he said, we have been using public education. It got started in this country up in the northeastern states, you know, New England states. Massachusetts started in 1838 or 36. They said, what we need in this country, what we need in this state is a system of public, forced, compulsory education. And so you people up there in Massachusetts started the ball rolling. And they started this system. Now in the southern states, they didn't have that. They practiced the biblical system of education. The home school. Where every family educated their children to their standards, to their religion, to their educational achievements. And the people up in New England, they said, no, we don't want to do that. We want to turn out engineers, scientists, mathematicians. And we want to educate these children to certain standards, to political standards, social standards. We want to change the way these people act and behave. We don't want the government to reflect the values of the people. We want the people to reflect the values of the government. Now that's the two basic philosophies. Do we want the government to set the example and do we want to follow the government, or do we want to set the example and do we want our government to follow our example? Now that's the two alternatives that we have. Now here in America, we follow our government's example. Government tells us what it is we ought to know. They tell us what we ought to do to make a living. They teach us what it is, what they want, what their standards are, and then that we need to follow those standards. And so as a result of that, we have crime. And crime is a standard that is taught to us by our government. Our government is creating criminals. Why do they want to create criminals? Because it's profitable. Makes money. Listen, everybody who goes into a Walmart store is a Walmart customer. So the people over at Kmart and Target and other stores, they say, well, we want to get those customers to come into our stores. We want to wean them away from Walmart. So from their point of view, they'd like to see Walmart put out of business. They'd like to see Walmart destroyed. All right, if you're a small business on Main Street and Walmart puts in a big store, Walmart is your enemy. You want to put Walmart out of business. You want to destroy Walmart. We don't want to coexist or compete with them. Government's no different. Government is a business. Government's big business. And government doesn't want competition. They don't want competition in the numbers racket from the mob. So they outlaw the numbers racket. They make it a crime. Let me ask you this. You've got a dollar in your pocket and you want to go squander your dollar. And you're just antsy and you just don't know how to get rid of this dollar. You could take it down and you could buy honey and feed it to your kids. You could go buy milk and feed it to your babies. You know, you could buy whiskey and drink. But you don't know what to spend it on. So you go down and you see some guy on the street and he comes up to you and he says, hey, give me your dollar and I'll give you this ticket. And you write off six numbers on this ticket. If these six numbers come up next Friday when we roll the numbers out, you'll win $1 million. So you take your lottery, your ticket from this guy on the street. Now he's a mobster. He's a loan shark. He's a mafioso, see. And he takes your dollar. All right. And at the end of the week, your numbers don't come up and you lose your dollar. All right. That guy is a dirty, no good scoundrel. He took your dollar. You do the same thing here with the state of New York, then you don't get anything for your dollar, but that's okay. And I mentioned that to you last time. I said, you know, something insane about that, but, you know, we accept it. It's part of everyday life. I mean, every state in the union, nearly every state in the union has a numbers racket now. Now, we outlawed those because those were criminal activities. In other words, we made a crime out of buying a lottery ticket. But we didn't lock up the guys buying the lottery tickets. We locked up the guys selling the lottery tickets. We do the same thing today. If you're out buying the drugs, that's okay. But if you're selling the drugs, that isn't. So I'm going to lock you up in prison. Isn't a drug addict a drug addict a drug addict? I mean, if we're trying to stamp out drugs, it would seem like to me that we would want to legislate against drugs. And every time we find one, we'd want to punish that drug user, that drug seller, that drug maker, that drug manufacturer. We don't punish Merck, Pfizer, and the major manufacturers of drugs. We eulogize them and we make them out as heroes and protectors of the public health. And the guy down on the street corner selling the same drugs that Merck is. I mean, look, when Merck is selling cocaine, what in the hell so health benefit does that have? When Merck is selling marijuana, for crying out loud, what health benefit does it have? None! Wake up! Smell the coffee! So we want to outlaw marijuana, outlaw cocaine, outlaw heroin. It's bad. Where'd you learn that? Public school. Public school. So Zach Montgomery said, wait a minute, public school is the medium or the modality by which we are going to set the people's values to fit ours. So government comes along and says, well, we want you people to be opposed to the numbers racket, but we want to teach you to practice the lottery so that we can make the profit instead of our competitors. See, government wants to sell you drugs. They want to reduce you to a drug addict. But they want to make the profit off of it. They don't want a bunch of Italians from Sicily making the profit. I mean, you know, that makes all the sense in the world. So the shoe store down on the corner, he wants to make the profit. He doesn't want Walmart to make the profit. And of course, Walmart says, well, I don't want those little shoe stores down on the street corner making the profit. I want to make the profit. I mentioned this to you with the big oil companies. You know, they came to us and they went to governments, what they did. And they said, well, what we need to do is pass a law that requires all oil wells, you know, once the oil well is no longer producing every day or every week, you have to cap it. Well, the stripper wells in America, there was about 100,000 of them here, you know, 30 years ago, they were producing 17% of the oil. Well, if little guys out on Main Street are producing 17% of the oil in America, that's a lot of oil. That's a lot of money. The oil companies don't want that competition. So they went to government, and the government said, okay, we're going to pass a law. You have to cap all these stripper wells. So they shut down 17% of oil production in America, which makes all the sense in the world for ExxonMobil and for Phillips Petroleum and for Shell Oil. It doesn't make any sense for you and me. It doesn't make any sense for the guys that are producing that 17%. So why did you make that law? We make these laws because they're directed at us from the top down. So the other day I pointed out a guy by the name of Jonas Yoder. And remember, Yoder jerks his kids out of the public school. Well, what do you and I care whether the Amish people educate their children to milk and cows or they educate them to be paleontologists? You know, different families have different educational goals and outlooks. You take a guy that's a medical doctor and he's got a couple of kids. Well, from his educational background and from his point of view in life, he says, well, I want to send my children to the University of such and such and educate them to be medical doctors and lawyers and one thing and another. And so maybe he does that. Do we get uppity with this guy and say, no, you should not educate your child to be a medical doctor. You should educate your child to be a farm worker. Well, from the point of view of the Amish people who are farmers, they don't want to educate their children to be doctors and dentists and paleontologists. They want to educate their children to be farmers and milkers and horse breakers and things like that. So the government comes along and says, hell, there ain't no money in that. Those people can teach their children to milk cows on their farms at home. They cannot teach their children to be paleontologists at the university. So what we need is a law that requires these people to educate their children to our educational standards. And that's what we've adopted here in America. We're educating everybody's children to the educational standards of the educators. And what are the educators? Well, they're all paleontologists and archaeologists and doctors and professionals. And so as a result of that, we don't have enough farmers. We've got paleontologists and archaeologists coming out our earballs. We've got unemployment among archaeologists. There's no unemployment among the Amish. There isn't a single unemployed Amish man in America. The people that are unemployed are all living in the cities, and they're all publicly school educated. Those are the people that are unemployed. And that's what Zach Montgomery pointed out. So he came up with these four. He said, what is causing in America in 1886, what is causing crime, poverty, insanity, and suicide? And he wrote the book and he said, it's public education, public school. Now I've got the time to go through and explain it to you, but I just wanted to point out to you that that's exactly what we found out in Yoder versus Wisconsin, because the public school officials up in Wisconsin came to the conclusion, and they probably believe it. I'm not suggesting that they don't believe it, but if you're not educated, you're going to become a criminal. And if you're not educated, you're going to become poor and go on welfare. Or if you're not educated, you're going to become insane and be institutionalized. And so the Amish raised this issue. And they said, okay, well, how many Amish people in Wisconsin, remember this drill, are on welfare? How many Amish people are on the welfare rolls? And the answer is none. How many Amish people do you have locked up in prison? None. How many Amish people do you have in your mental hospitals? None. None! Not a low percentage, zero. I couldn't find a single Amish guy unemployed in Wisconsin. Now you got unemployment in the United States. I think the last time I saw a number, it was 5.4%, which is pretty low. It's a lie. It's actually more like 10 or 15%. But let's just think about this for a minute. How many Amish men in America are unemployed, standing in line, waiting for job service to find them a job someplace, milking cows or doing whatever Amish guys do? And the answer is zero. There are no Amish men unemployed. The Amish people would not even go down to the unemployment office to sign up for unemployment insurance. They're too busy working. They haven't got time for that. Are the Amish people suffering from poverty? There are not any Amish people in America on welfare. None. Zero. They don't have time for it. They're too busy working. Well, the Amish people must be poor. No. The Amish people, when they go to an auction, and they want to buy a farm, they pay cash. They can pay $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 in $100 bills, boys and girls. The Amish don't use credit. They use cash. $100 bills. They're not even in the drug business. There's only two people in this country, two classes of people that use cash. Drug dealers and Amish. No, the Amish people are not poor, they're not insane, they're not unemployed, you know, they don't send their children to public school. They don't have any crime. Now take a look at school shootings. Where do the school shootings occur? In public schools. They don't occur in the Catholic schools. They don't occur in the homeschools. They all occur in public school. There's another guy who wrote a book about public school and about the problems with public school. His name is David Barton. It's a hell of a book. It's called America to Pray or Not to Pray. Now, this book you can probably get. America, to Pray or Not to Pray. And I'm going to give you the name and address here. Because this guy Barton over here, don't tell him that you got this from George Gordon, because he probably won't send you a book. He don't like me at all. But the guy's name is David Barton. And he is at Wall Builder Press. Wall Builder Press, Post Office Box 397 in Aledo, Texas. And the zip code is 76008. Now, they got a phone down there. At least they used to. The number is 817-441-6044. That's a hell of a book. America, colon, to pray or not to pray. This guy, David Barton, is a religious guy. And he says public school is the pits. Now listen to this. I said, when I opened this broadcast, I said, public school teaches crime. If you want to teach crime to your child, where should you send him to get the best criminal education in America? And the answer is any public school. It's a crime school. Now, here are the 17 top criminal activities going on in your public school today. Number one is rape. If you want your child to be raped or learn how to rape, send them to public school. It's the number one crime that is being committed in the public school system. It's unheard of in the Amish community. You don't have any rape going on in Catholic schools. Now, you got other kinds of sex crimes going on in Catholic church, but it's not rape by the students. They're not teaching that. Rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancies, abortions, and venereal disease are the 17 top problems going on in public school today. Now, 80 years ago, it was talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothing, and not putting paper in the wastebaskets. In Catholic and parochial and private schools, talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothing, and not putting paper in the waste paper baskets are still the 7 top problems in parochial and home schools. Top problems going on in public schools, top crimes going on in public schools are rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, and suicide. Now that's the top 8. And that's put out by America to Pray or Not to Pray by David Barton. Now, in the Bible, let's go back here to this wild old-timey book called The Bible. We used to teach that in our public schools. When the public schools were teaching the Bible, we didn't have school shootings and we didn't have all these top 17 criminal activities going on. All right. Now, we teach crime in our public schools because we teach the opposite to the Bible. The Bible teaches law and order. And these things that we call crimes, you know, we have now made or things that didn't used to be crimes, we've now turned into crimes. And things that are crimes, we have made legal. For instance, let me show you a couple, three here. Abortion. Abortion in America used to be a crime. It was wicked. It was evil. It was awful to commit abortion. It was prohibited by God. And the statute that prohibited abortion was in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. That's one. There's more, but that's one. All right, now, that's the standard that we, the citizens of America, following the Ten Commandments, following the law of God, following the dictates of our conscience, and common sense, by the way, told us not to practice abortion. Today, when children are sent to public school, they're taught that abortion is an alternative modality for birth control, that the tissue being cut out is nothing but tissue. There's nothing inherently wrong with abortion. Abortion is a woman's right to choose. All right. So they're teaching crime, that crime, in the public school. Now, there's another crime. There's one called sodomy. That's a violation of the biblical prohibition in Leviticus 20, verse 13. That's one, not the only one, but that's one statute that says, don't practice sodomy. All right, we have sex education in our public schools. And in the sex education class, this is called an alternative lifestyle. Our children are taught to be sodomites in the public school. They're taught abortion in the public school. Those are two criminal activities. Those two criminal activities are capital felonies. Our children are taught capital felonies in the public school system. Now, it isn't, you know, you shouldn't have to stretch this too far. If you teach these kinds of crimes in the public school system, then you're teaching lawlessness to your children. Now, this lawlessness, and this is part of Christian philosophy. Here in America, we practice Christian philosophy. And we have a standard here that is imposed upon us. It's an indoctrination process called Christianity. You don't go to school to learn Christianity. You go to school to be indoctrinated into Christianity. It's an indoctrination program. And our public school system works just like the church system. It's indoctrination. It's not education. Education is where you give somebody a choice. You show them the three or four alternatives and say, well, now choose one of these. What's your common sense tell you? Indoctrination is where you come along and you tell somebody, this is right and this other over here is wrong. There's no choice for you to make. We've made the choice for you. And this is where we're at with drugs. See, drugs are good. That's the basic philosophy in America. Drugs are good. Drugs that you buy from Rexall are good. Drugs that are prescribed to you by a drug pusher called a medical doctor are good. Drugs that you buy on the street corner are bad. Drugs that you buy from Joe on the street corner are bad. And that's because Joe on the street corner isn't licensed, bonded, and insured. He wasn't educated. He can't prescribe drugs. Bad, bad. Naughty, naughty. No, no. Don't buy drugs on the street corner. All right, now, the same cocaine that's available on the street corner for one-third the price is available from Dr. Welby, M.D. Can you see the hypocrisy coming up here? Now, in the Bible, drugs are called witchcraft. They're strictly prohibited. It's a capital felony. Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs at all. Zero drugs, no drugs. See, this is the standard set down by your Creator. And those standards set down by God in the Bible prohibit witchcraft. So your public school promotes witchcraft. What they do is they have a day set aside called Halloween. We dress the kids up. We teach them witchcraft. We teach them drugs. We teach them that drugs are good. We teach them an alternative lifestyle called sodomy. We teach them abortion. We teach our children crime in the public schools. Now, the parochial schools do the same thing, but not to the same extent because they modify it. They've got a different God. They don't practice the laws of this God of the Bible. They claim to, but they don't. Now, they've got a God, and because there's morality, you know, the Muslims have morality. The Buddhists have morality. You don't have these kinds of social problems in Buddhist countries and Muslim countries because they have God, family, morality. And where you have God, family, and morality, you don't have anywhere near the kind of crime that you have here in the Christian world, here in America. And that's because we teach crime here. We teach crime here in our public schools for profit. And you see, the big drug companies, they want to teach drugs in public school and drug education. They don't want to leave that to families and individuals. When I was a youngster, we used to have a lot of different religious people, you know, go to public school. I was educated in public school. I was institutionalized for 12 years. And while I was there, in the early days, you see, there'd be some Mormon kid in there, Ronnie Mitchell. You know, he was a Mormon kid. And he was educated at home to his family's moral standards. And since his family were Mormons, he was being educated to the Mormon standards, moral standards. And it worked pretty well. You know, Mormons are pretty moral people. And then, you know, Ed O'Neill, he was a Catholic, and he was being educated to Catholic moral standards. And, you know, the Catholic moral standards aren't bad. The Catholic moral standards in the clergy aren't very good, but the Catholic moral standards for the average rank and file Catholic aren't too shabby at all. I married a Catholic girl, and she was a pretty nice girl. You know, we used to use the word nice girl. See, you had these girls that weren't so nice. They were the ones that were doing it in Bobby's back seat. But, you know, then there was the nice girls. They had pretty good moral standards in Catholic when I was a kid. Now, as you take a look at these various religions, all these religions, whether they're Christian or Muslim or whatever they are, they have some kind of moral standards. We used to have that. We have abolished that moral standard here in our public school system in America. And we have replaced it with a secular moral standard, or I should say immoral standard. So now in our public school, we teach young girls sexual promiscuity. And as a result of that, we have some pretty poor morals in our public schools. And evidently that's what we want, because that's what we're teaching. And I think that it ought to be changed, and it can be changed with homeschool. See, when you're doing this at home, when you're teaching your daughters at home, when you're teaching your children at home, you are teaching them to your moral standards. And when you do that, they're going to have some kind of moral standard. You send them to public school, they're going to come out like dogs and cats, because that's what they teach in public school. They evolved from slime. And they evolved from animals. Therefore, they are higher forms of animals, and that's all they are, is an animal. And take a look at your children, the way they dress, the way they act, the way they behave. Hell, I'd rather have a dog around me than most children. The dogs behave more intelligently than children do today. And where did they learn that? They learned that in public school. Public school. That's where they learned that. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school or The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order one, just call the law school and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network, or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about crime as a growth industry. And crime is a growth industry in America because it makes money. And it makes money for government. And we want to stamp out all competition. Walmart wants to stamp out Kmart. Kmart wants to stamp out Walmart. The local shoe store wants to stamp out Walmart, and Walmart wants to stamp out the local shoe store. Exxon wants to stamp out all stripper wells in America. And all the people that own the stripper wells in America would like to stamp out ExxonMobil. It's just business. It's just competition. The mafia would like to have clear sailing with the lottery and the numbers racket, and the states want the mafia out of the numbers racket. And so they have banned it. They've made it illegal. And then they've instituted their own lottery, and they're selling the lottery tickets at the local 7-Eleven store to make it convenient. When you fill up your tank, you can go and buy a lottery ticket. All of these activities are prohibited by God. You know, the creator of the universe, he took a look at this, and he came up with a standard. And here's what it is. He said, I don't want you making any laws. That's right. God told us, don't make any laws. You people are not competent. You're not qualified. You don't have the brains for it. You don't have the ability. You don't have the training. And you should not be making laws, because you are dummies. You can't do it. It doesn't work. Never has, doesn't now, never will. And he said that twice. So get your pen and paper out here, and I'll tell you where. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, he said, do not add anything to this law. And then in Deuteronomy 12:32, he said the same thing, but he went a step further, and he said, and don't subtract anything from it either. So he said, now I'm going to give you a complete law here. 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. About one-third of the total number of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations that you have in your state traffic code. Don't add to it, and don't take anything away from it. And then he went on, he said, now do this law. This is your righteousness. He said, you practice this law, and it'll give you everything you want, not to have, and that you really need. Now, we came along and we said, no, this God over here, he's kind of dumb, and he doesn't understand. Our number one complaint is he doesn't really understand economics. And he says, don't use unjust weights and balances, use gold and silver, and I've given you gold and silver, and blah, blah, blah. And God doesn't understand the profit potential in stocks and bonds, negotiable instruments, mortgages, usury, and interest. He's just divorced from all these profit making potentials. Now, government is not ignorant about the profit making potentials of unjust weights and balances. And that's why they gave us the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve System is not a government institution. It's a private institution. And government partners a lot with private companies. Government is partnered with the Federal Reserve Bank to print our money and give us unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And then they do it for profit. It profits the private bank, and it profits the government. Government profits from the laws that they make. Every time the government makes a law, they create a new product. And the policeman, in reality, is a salesman, and he's out selling that product. So every time a new law is passed, the policeman, the salesman, has a new product to sell. For instance, before we enacted the seatbelt law, the policeman had laws to enforce. And one of the laws that he enforced was the speed limit. See? So he'd be out here, we used to call them traffic cops, and he'd be out here enforcing the speed limit. And then that was a product, and he caught people speeding. And so he could give them a ticket. He also called them speed cops. But that's all he was doing, was just selling speeding tickets. So the powers that be take a look at that and say, God, look at all the money we make off of these speeding tickets. That's really great. If we had other products to sell, we could probably make even more money. So some enterprising legislator comes in and says, look, let's put up stop signs, and then let's make it a law if you fail to stop at the stop sign. So they did. Now the speed cop has two jobs. He can give you a ticket, sell his speeding product, Or he can sell his stop sign product. So if you don't stop at the stop sign, he'd give you a ticket for that. And if you're speeding, he'd give you a ticket for that. All right, so now he's got two products to sell. Stop signs and speeding. So some enterprising legislator comes along and says, well, look, if people wore their seatbelts, or if we had seatbelts in cars, they'd be safer. So let's pass a seatbelt law. And so now the policeman has three products to sell. He can sell speeding tickets, he can sell stop sign tickets, now he can sell seatbelt tickets. Now you just keep adding to that, and pretty soon you got 2,000 of these. Your traffic code has 2,000 of these products to sell. And so the policeman, you know, sometimes he stops you and he doesn't find what he thought he was going to find, and he says, well, let me look. Do you have a driver's license? Yes, I do. Here it is. Oh, damn. Well, do you have registration? Oh, you do. Okay, well, I can't get you for that. Do you have insurance? No? Oh, you don't have your insurance. Well, right here. Here's a product that we sell. It's called compulsory insurance, and you don't have insurance, huh? Okay, well, I'm going to write you a ticket for having no insurance. I mean, you know, come on. 100 years ago, nobody cared how fast you drove. And in Germany today, they don't care how fast you drive. They don't have a speed limit there. Well, at least on their autobahns. So, it just goes to show you that if you don't have a speed limit in Germany, why do you have a speed limit in Wyoming? I mean, you people out in Wyoming need a speed limit, you know, like you need another thumb on your left hand. But you got one. And the state of Wyoming makes a lot of money off of speeding tickets in Wyoming. And all the states do that. And so we call it the traffic code. And we make these laws so that we can make money. They're revenue generators. If you'll take a look at all of the laws being enacted by Congress, they are commercial laws. They come under the Commerce Clause at Article 1, Section 8. Congress doesn't come up with a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery to protect families and little kids from divorce and juvenile delinquency. That's a law that comes from God. That's a moral law. That law has to do with the protection of families. We want to stamp out divorce, juvenile delinquency. We want to have stable families in our society. Hell, there's no money in that. The money is in divorce. The money's in divorce court. So we come along and we create divorce laws and marriage licenses and juvenile delinquency laws and social lady. We got social ladies working all over America to snatching kids and putting them in foster homes. And gosh, we have an industry there. Now, drunk driving, for instance, I mentioned this before, was not a crime in America, but some drunk killed somebody's kid. And so, like Rosie O'Donnell, you know, there was a shooting one time. I think it was at over in Colorado. And Rosie O'Donnell came out and said, we need to ban guns. And so some drunk driver killed this lady's daughter, and she says, what we need to do is ban drunk drivers. Makes the same amount of sense. No, drunk drivers kill people. Sober drivers kill more. Did you know that out of the 40,000 people a year that are killed in America on our highways, did you know that sober drivers kill more than drunk drivers? I mean, if you people were just interested in saving lives, you should ban all sober drivers from the highways. Only drunks can drive. They kill fewer people. Just thought I'd point that out to you. Now, nobody has ever done a demographic study to find out what hair color traffic accident and traffic accident victims have. But, I mean, we could carry this to another extreme. We could say, look, is there a correlation between blondes and auto deaths on the highways? What if we did a study and we found out that 80% of traffic fatalities on our highways are caused by blondes? I bet you people up in Sweden could come to that correlation. I mean, you could look around in Sweden and you could come to the conclusion that 80% of the traffic accidents in Sweden are caused by blondes. Therefore, we need to ban blondes from our highways. Make as much sense as banning drunks. You know, we're sold this in our public schools. We go to public school and we have to go to driver's education. Driver's education says drunk drivers kill people. Hell, Chevrolet automobiles kill people. Should we ban Chevrolet automobiles? Ford trucks kill people. I was looking the other day at the telly, and this lawyer, he's trying to sell his services. He comes along, and he's photographed in the opening scene of the commercial in front of a Peterbilt truck. And he starts off by saying, truck accidents kill. Duh. Okay, you talk about something being real obvious. Did you know that truck accidents kill? Yes, sir, that's the truth. By God, that lawyer got that one right. Truck accidents kill. Okay. Guns kill. Okay. I'll tell you, if you want to eliminate all truck deaths, ban all trucks. It won't ban death, but it'll ban all truck deaths. I mean, come on, kids. Is there ever a time when reason, logic, and common sense ever overtakes propaganda? Did anybody ever come to the conclusion that maybe we should teach and train people how to drive trucks? You know, the trucking industry is pretty safe. When you get right down to the bottom line, there's not very many truckers killing people. Truck drivers are pretty good drivers. And they get better and better as they get more and more experience. I remember the first time I drove truck, I wasn't nearly as good as I was after I'd been doing it for 10 years. And then after I'd been driving for, you know, a long time, I got to be pretty darn good at it. Truck drivers are pretty good drivers. In fact, if you were riding in a truck with a truck driver, your chances of getting killed would be less than riding around with some old lady school teacher driving around in her car. I'll bet you that truck driver is a better driver than that old lady school teacher. I just bet you. And I know he's a better driver than a 16-year-old pimply-faced punk. God, you don't want to ride with teenagers. I used to be a teenager. You didn't want to ride with me. I not only couldn't drive, I was a crazy driver. Teenagers are bad drivers to start with, and then they're crazy drivers, and on top of that, they're all inexperienced. So I'd rather be riding around with a truck driver with a million miles under his belt than I would. But you know, this lawyer, he's sitting there, trucks kill. Rosie O'Donnell did that. She came out and she said, we need to ban guns. You know, look at these kids, they got these guns, and they went in here and they shot these people. I had a gun when I was about 12 years old. My dad taught me how to use it and why it killed people, and I never did kill anybody with my gun. I think people, human beings, can be trained. I think human beings can be educated. And I think the best place to educate those children are at home, and I think the best educational standards are yours. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a Mormon, or a Catholic, or a Protestant, or a Republican, or a Democrat. I think that if you just leave people alone and let them teach their children to their standards, you'd have some pretty good people out there. Because I know years ago when I went to public school, Ronnie Mitchell was a pretty good people, and his parents were pretty good people, even though they were Mormons. And we weren't. Those Mormon people weren't all that bad. And I took a look around in our society, and I found out that the Catholic people and the Protestant people and the Mormon people, they weren't near as bad as the government is making them out to be. Because, see, our government tells us today, you cannot have the Bible and religious principles taught in public school. And maybe that's a good policy. So why don't we all jerk our children out of public school, educate them at home to our standards, and I'll bet you'll have a whole lot fewer school shootings. I mean, you just put this in your pipe and smoke it. If everybody in America did what George Gordon is doing and educated his children, your children, in your own home school, I mean everybody, you know, the 48 million plus children that are now attending public school, jerk them all out of public school. Educate every single one of them at home. And you know what you'll have tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? No more school shootings. None. Zero. See, we didn't have school shootings in this country until recent years. And Zach Montgomery pointed it out. He said, public school teaches crime. And boy, was he right. And I just pointed out three or four. We're actually teaching lots of crime to our children in public school. We teach them adultery, abortion, sodomy, witchcraft, unjust weights and balances, interracial marriage, Easter, eating pork, Christmas, integration, usury, voting, eating blood, eating fat, census, public school, wills, probate, inheritance tax, real estate sales by license. We teach them birthdays, to eat unclean meats, to wear mixed fabrics, unisex clothes. We teach them bestiality, New Year's, idolatry, Sabbath breaking, and prostitution. And we that's the tip of the iceberg. We're teaching all of that in public school. Every single one of those are being taught in public school. Every single one of those is a crime. It's a violation of the law of God. Integration violates Genesis 11. Christmas violates Jeremiah 10. Eating pork violates Leviticus 11. Easter violates Jeremiah 44. Interracial marriage violates Deuteronomy 7. Unjust weights violates Leviticus 19. Witchcraft violates Leviticus 20. Sodomy violates Leviticus 20. Abortion violates Leviticus 20. Adultery violates Exodus 20. I could go on here for hours. You send your kid to public school, and the public school teaches your child these criminal activities. And then you wonder why we got so many people locked up. Well, okay. If you want to take a look at a book that'll really blow your eyeballs off, blow your mind, I guess. Poison Drops in the Federal Senate. Let's see if we can get a copy of this book. I mean, I could copy this. I mean, I could probably go to. Oh, I don't know. Kinko's and have it copied. I don't know what it would cost. Book was published, 138 pages, published back in 1886. Poison Drops in the Federal Senate. Guy goes back to 1850 and he says, what is the poverty rate in America in 1850? Then he takes a look in those states that adopted public education, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, New York. And he compares it with Virginia and North Carolina and South Carolina, where they had not adopted public schools. And he finds out that the poverty rate in the South is half what it is in the North. That where you educate children in public education, you have a higher poverty rate, a higher unemployment rate, a higher insanity rate, a higher welfare rate, a higher unemployment rate, and on and on. All of the social ills that the Amish don't have from their educational system in their own schools at home, compared to the public school that the state of Wisconsin was trying to force on them, they don't have. All of the things that we Americans say that we don't want, shouldn't have, and would like to get rid of, is what we have. And why? Because we send our children to public schools and we educate them to be criminals. You know, boys and girls, you send your daughter, 14 years old, to public school and educate her to an alternative lifestyle, and by golly, you'll turn out a whore. If you want your 14-year-old daughter to be a whore, you can't get a better education for whoredom than public school. That's where they teach it. It's called sex education. Wake up! Smell the coffee. Now go to the Amish and try to find an Amish whore. You can't find an Amish whore. Gee, I wonder why. They don't educate their kids in public school. They don't teach their children sex education is an alternative lifestyle for some sodomite to exploit. They don't do that there. Now, if you want to teach that in your own home, I guess you could turn your own kid into a whore, but then I haven't run across very many parents that want to do that. I haven't met anybody yet that said, you know, I got a daughter over here, and my lifelong dream is to turn her into a whore. I want her to be a Times Square prostitute. I mean, there's a lot of girls going to turn into Times Square prostitutes, but I haven't met any parents that want to do that. Most parents say, I want to send my kid to Harvard and turn him into a lawyer. Now, that's a real criminal. Just to give you some statistics here, did you know that of all of the professions, the lawyers have the lowest incarceration rate? That's because they make better criminals. A lawyer is a trained, professional criminal. It's damn hard to catch a lawyer and convict him for a crime. He knows all the angles. He knows all the tricks. So if you're trying, you know, if you're trying to keep your kid out of prison, well, send him to law school. I mean, that's one of the best educations you can get for crime. And the public school is the best place to start them off, because they teach crime in the public schools. Then top his legal education off after you've taught him to be a criminal by sending him to a prestigious law school so that we can teach him how to be a successful criminal. A successful one. All right. Now let me recapitulate over here. God in the Bible has a legal standard, and his legal standards call for punishment. There's 28 punishments that you can get. 24 crimes can get you the death penalty, but there's no prison. God does not lock people up in jail. And that's because jail doesn't work. But jail is immensely profitable, and that's why we have jails and prisons, because they make money for government. That's the purpose behind the crime growth industry. We have a crime growth industry that grows at 5% a year because that is what we're selling every year. And that's what we're promoting and buying every year. I showed you that. Chief of police goes down and he says, hey, listen, crime grew 5% last year. Why did it grow 5% last year? Because that's what we went out and sold last year. And it's going to grow 5% this year and every year as long as you people out there want to buy it. Now, if you don't want to buy into the program and you don't want to buy crime, why don't you take a look at the education standards in the Bible? Education. There's a section in the Bible that deals with education, such as Deuteronomy 5, Deuteronomy 6, Leviticus 14, Deuteronomy 4, Exodus 18, Exodus 24, Leviticus chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 11. You know, you take a look at these education chapters in the Bible, and it will tell you, teach you, and show you how to turn your child into a law-abiding, righteous, holy individual. I know it's a wild new concept, but why don't you think about it? Now, I'm about out of time again. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. And we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order one, just call us at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. That's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We'll leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.